Call your attention tonight to the first psalm, where the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. If I were having a text tonight, it would be, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." I want us to think about just taking time tonight. We live in an age that's so increasingly conscious of the speed of everything about us. We want our cars to go faster. I don't know why. We want our planes to span the nation and the ocean in just a matter of hours, going faster than the speed of sound. Our factories have to run faster to produce more food, more things in a shorter period of time. Speed has become our watchword. As I mentioned recently, we want everything instantly, from food to shade trees. I went home this morning and I fixed me a good meal for lunch. It took me 90 seconds. Can you believe that? 90 seconds. I was about to starve to death before it got ready. We want everything instantly, right now. Tragically, this compulsion with speed carried over to our relationship with people. A few years ago, one popular song spoke of instant love. And even more tragically, this has carried over to our thinking about God. And it's really no wonder to me that our hurrying on the job, in the home, in the community, and even at church, in our hurrying from place to place, that many of us have become bewildered. Is it any wonder that for many that life has lost the meaning that it might have or once had or should have? Surely many people in their best moments cry out, "Who am I? Why am I here? What comes after this?" Some well-meaning people tell us that the answer to all of our problems is to be found in the scientific laboratory. If you just enough money for more research and gain enough knowledge, things will be well. And they've even gone so far as to give us a modern translation of the 23rd Psalm. And I'm sure David Smith will love this. It's all right. This is their translation. "Science is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on foam rubber mattresses. He rejuvenates my thyroid gland. He leads me in the pathway of psychoanalysis for peace of mind sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of terrors, I shall fear no evil. The early warning systems and intercom ballistic missiles, they protect me. Science prepares the table before me in the presence of the world's hungry people. Science anoints my head with permanence, hair color, and wigs. My beer glass foameth over. Surely peace and prosperity shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in Shangri-La forever." But you know, at the same time, those who have all the world can give them and have no more than that still do not have enough to make life meaningful and abundant. The ultimate questions of who am I, why am I here, what comes after this still remain. Not only in the first psalm where he says he delights in the law of the Lord day and night, but other places in the psalmist, the word is take time for God. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." He's asking to be led. He's asking to be taught. He's asking to be shown the way of God. But he didn't ask for it to happen instantly. He said, "I'm waiting on you all day, however long it takes." Do we wait before God, or we just jump up and run off in our haste? Again, in the 27th Psalm, The psalmist affirms that God will strengthen your heart when you wait on the Lord. And again, the 33rd Psalm says, "The Lord is our help and our shield." But before he makes this affirmation, he says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. The Lord is our help and our shield." There are other psalms where we're told to wait on the Lord, but the psalm that best expresses our predicament and answer to it, to me, is found in Psalm 40. Here the psalmist describes himself as one who was in a terrible pit, mired down in the mud and clay. He's come to see the futility of his struggle in his present condition. And then he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He's established my going. He put praise in my mouth." But only when he took time to wait before God. What a transformation in the life of the person who takes time to call upon God. I'm convinced that if we are to have the life that's best that it could be, we must take time for it. And I want to lift up three areas very quickly tonight in which I think we need to take time for the best life. First, we need to take time for our spouses. It was back in 1956, when our daughter was 6 weeks old and Calvin was 3 years old, and I started the seminary in Emory University over north side of Atlanta. I went to school Tuesday through Friday, and every Friday afternoon we came back to Wedowee, Alabama, where the parsonage was for the Midway Charge. I was pastoring four churches while I was in seminary. I'd preach at two of the churches every Sunday morning and one of them on Sunday night. And either on Sunday night after church or on Monday, most of the time on Monday, we'd go back to Atlanta. One of the happiest days of my life was the day that I graduated from seminary. I don't know that I've ever been much happier than I was that day. We came back to Wedowee. I got to work on the charge. I started preaching at three of the churches every Sunday morning, two of them every Sunday night. If that won't kill you, I don't know what will, but anyway, that's what I did. I was out visiting people, calling upon people, working. And one day, after about 6 months, Wendell shocked me as much as I have ever been in my life. She looked at me and she said, "I'm about ready for you to go back to school." I couldn't even answer her. And finally I said, "What in the world do you mean? What are you talking about?" She said, "When you were in school, we were together every week going to Atlanta for over 2 hours. And we were together every week coming home for over 2 hours. Now that you're no longer in school, I don't see you anymore." I woke up and I started making time, taking time for my wife, children. And for the last 20 years that I was in the pastorate, Wendell and I had a date every Friday night. And I took off every Saturday to be with her and with the children when they were still at home. We need to take time for our spouses. We need to take time for our children. I read a story recently of a man who was always working. He got in from work and every night his little boy was already in bed. One night he got in, his little boy was in bed. He went into the little boy's room to tell him good night and to kiss him. And the little boy looked up at his dad and said, "Dad, how much money did they pay you?" And that sort of upset his dad. He didn't think the kid had any business asking him that. He said, "Enough." He said, "Daddy, how much do they pay you every hour?" And Daddy got more upset. You know, what in the world is this kid asking me that for? You know, basically he said, "None of your business, but if you've got to know, they pay me $25 an hour." He got up to go out of the room and the little boy said, "Daddy, could you lend me $10? And he slammed the door as he's going out and said, "No, But the next morning he was thinking about it a little bit and the way he'd answered his son. And came to the breakfast table, he told the little boy he was sorry the way he'd answered him the night before, and he gave him $10. The little boy jumped down from the table, he ran to his room, he came back with his piggy bank, and he opened the piggy bank, and he put all the change there, and he counted it out and pushed it over to his dad. There was $15 he had in that piggy bank, and then he laid the $10 his dad had just given him up on top of the pile of change. He said, "Daddy, could I buy an hour of your time?" Think about it. We need to take time for our spouses, for our children. But above all, we must take time for God. If we would live our lives anchored in the eternal things of God, we must take time. While it's true that we must begin our journey in a moment, it takes time to find the answers that we need. We must take time. I think first we have to take time to pray. You get to know somebody by talking to them, being with them, spending time with them. The more you visit with people and talk with people and get to know them, the better acquainted you are. And so it is in our dealing with God. Prayer is our conversation with God. We go to God with our cares and our concerns. We express our desires. We lift up our praises and our thanksgiving, and we wait before Him to allow God to speak to us. If we're going to be at all that we should be, we must take time to pray. And we must take time to study God's Word. I think about it every now and again. When I left home in 1953 to go to Korea, Winnie Dale determined to write me every day I was gone. Every day she wrote me, sometimes twice a day. Usually she wrote me in the evening, and then she added a little note on the letter in the morning as if Calvin were writing it. It took about 7 days for a letter to get from Alabama to Korea in those days. And sometimes they didn't get there that quick. And, you know, it didn't really matter to me. When I had an opportunity, I went by the mailroom to see if they had any letters. If I saw the mail clerk come in, I went down and helped him sort the mail. And when I got that letter, sometimes two or three, because it had been delayed, I digested them. I read them again and again and again, and I learned a lot about my wife. I still got four of those letters. She wrote me over 400. I still have four of them in a safe box at home. I reread them recently. And I came, even now, to a little better understanding of how she loved me. Now this is God's love letter to us. We need to spend time in it. For it's only here that we find that God is love. That He made us in His image. And He wants us to love one another as He loved us. Spend time in the Word. Get to know God. It's His love letter to you. And we need to take time to worship. Church get along fine without me. I just couldn't get along without the church. On the day that Winnie Dale died, Michael was at the nursing home before I was. And as we talked, he said, "Now, Jeff, you don't have to lead the service in the morning. You don't have to preach tomorrow night. We'll take care of that." And I looked at him. I said, "Michael, I've got to do it." Right here. As we sing the praises of God and hear the Word read and proclaimed, right here in worship, I sense God's presence more than anywhere else in the world. I have to be here. Now, the day will come when I will no longer be here, but the church will go on. The church can get by without me. I just can't get by without worship. have to take time for God. And we must take time to be led of God's Holy Spirit into the paths of righteousness. We don't want to take time to take instructions. We don't want to take time to listen. And we're trying to run out, John, and sometimes we get ahead of where God wants us to be. Take time and wait patiently and ask the Spirit to guide you. And if we really get to know God, we're going to get involved in His service. And it takes time. But we have the assurance of the prophet Jeremiah, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It takes time. And Jesus said, "He that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be open." But we have to seek. And that takes time. We have to ask. And that takes time. We have to knock, and that takes time. As we take the time to get to know and commune with God, we'll find that He answers the great questions of life. God will tell you that you are His dear child. God will tell you that He loved you so much that He didn't withhold His only begotten Son, but freely offered Him up for us all. And you can go and kneel at the cross of Calvary and see the love of God poured out for you. Only as you wait before God. God will tell you that you were born and built to the scale of eternity. Your life's not limited to this world. You're built to the scale of eternity. And you're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll tell you that Jesus is now preparing a place for you for all of eternity. That where He is, you may be also. I had an old gentleman that was, I think, 90 years old, was fixing to have surgery one morning years ago. And I went in to see him. The doctor was concerned about his age. His daughter was concerned about Papa having to have surgery at 90 years of age. I sat and talked with the old gentleman. He looked at me and he said, "Well, Jeff, if the surgery is successful and I happen to have several more good years, that'll be a blessing of God." And said, "If I die on the operating table," said, "all I've got to look forward to is heaven." You know, he couldn't lose. He couldn't lose. The last time I saw him, he was walking up the street the year he was 100 to go play dominoes with his buddies. But he still had something to look forward to going home to being with God. So I say to you tonight, take time for your spouse, take time for your children, but above all, take time for God. You are God's precious child. Live as a child of your Heavenly Father and bring glory to His name. Take time to learn and to live and to serve your Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we are in such big hurries that we don't take time to pray. Forgive us when we're in such big hurries we don't take time to study your word. Forgive us when we're in such a hurry we don't take time to worship you. Forgive us when we're in such big hurries we run before you instead of waiting for your leadership. Take time. Oh God, help us to take time. And to serve you and to live for you all of our days. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.